I was preaching without a mic. I didn't realize I didn't have it for just a few moments. About to get lost in the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 25. And let me set this up. Saul has rebelled against God. He was once a mighty, mighty anointed. This is all about the difference between the power of God and the person of Christ. It's the difference between the anointing of God that is upon your life and the relationship with the Lord that is within your life. One of the pitfalls of Pentecostalism is that we pursue power because we're Pentecostals. We know there's more, and we go after it. There are deeper depths and higher heights in terms of the anointing and the power and presence of God. I don't want to be in a church where there's no sense of His presence, that I don't sense that the preacher is getting his message from God's heart. He's just preparing it. It's biblical. It may be biblically correct, but there's no sense that I'm hearing from the Lord. Amen. But when the anointing comes, then I believe that God is speaking through that vessel to me, by His Word, through His Word, and by His Spirit. But He's speaking, amen, to me. Something comes to my heart, not just my head. And we want you to take something home from the heart today. When Saul was anointed to be king, God raised him up as a champion in Israel. He anointed him. Enemies of Israel, as they are today, as they have been for all of these thousands of years now, in plural. I don't want to get off into the last day thing, but I do want to teach more on what ISIS means and the Arab nations and all of the things that are occurring right now. We do have, and he's not here today, but we have a Muslim man that is coming to our services, and I appreciate him coming. I appreciate the fact that he's hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and that he's not pushing away from that, and we're praying for his illumination first, that he will see what we see in Jesus Christ. God is moving in the Muslim world, and because of the lack of missionary endeavor, because you can't get in there, and if you get in there, you can't preach and teach. There is a move of the Holy Spirit in that area, and many are testifying that they saw and heard Jesus speak to them concerning the gospel. And you say, Brother Bumble, I don't. Well, they're coming to Christ. That's all I know. Amen. You can call it anything you want. I know that every experience is subjective, but when someone accepts and confesses Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior from a background like that, whatever it took and whatever God did, I'm glad He did it. And I do believe it was supernatural. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So God is on the move all over the world revealing Jesus. And that's why He's taking the gospel to Africa. So Saul is an anointed king over Israel. He leads in every battle against the enemies of God's people. And they win again and again and again and again. And the spoils of war, any of the treasures, they bring it back. And all the daughters of Jerusalem are arrayed and bejeweled because of the blessing of the Lord, particularly in battle, to defend God's people that others would try to kill and destroy. And Saul was a leader, an anointed king. And I don't have time to go into all the background. He was an anointed king. He got jealous of David. By the way, unless he had pride enter first, there was no reason to be jealous of someone else. Pride breeds, is the breeding ground for jealousy and envy. So we got to watch it in our own life, because the Bible said, wherein there's among you envy, jealousy, and strife. He said, this wisdom doesn't come from above, but it's earthy, regardless if you speak in tongues or not. This is the litmus test of our spirituality. Regardless if you have visions and dreams, if pride enters in, it ruins it. It taints it. It turns it from the true, pure Spirit of God to something that is self-exalting in our flesh. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Make no mistake about it. Pride was the sin that made an angel a devil. It was pride. Because of thy beauty, that was lifted up. And when he got lifted up, he wasn't satisfied to worship God. He literally wanted to be God. And he said, I will be like the Most High. In fact, he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. Pride. So Saul had a mighty anointing, but when pride entered, and pride is intrinsic to your flesh and mind. That's why we have to crucify. Because you can't rise to some spiritual state that I don't have. I'm so humble. You heard about the guy that won the title of most humble. They gave him a pin. He wore it to church the next Sunday and they took it away from him. Can you say amen? Pride goeth before destruction. Haughty spirit before a fall. And whether you're anointed or not is not the issue. If pride enters in. And there's a danger. There's a danger. You know, I might not get into this whole sermon here because look where the Lord's taking us right now. There is. I just want to follow him today. Amen. I just want to. So many anointed men and women, their ministry has been ruined because of pride. Six things the Lord doth hate. These are things he absolutely despises. Seven are an abomination to him. Guess what? Number one, numero uno on the list of things that God absolutely despises. Number one, pride. Pride. Hands that shed innocent blood, he that sows discord, yes. But number one, top shelf of things that God hates. Number one is pride. And that's why when Jesus came, everything about him was a rebuke to the pride of man. Everything. Everything. One man one time, and I knew him when he was a great preacher. I knew him when he was humble. He depended on the Holy Spirit, and you could feel the power of God when he preached. But I saw the transformation when pride began to enter in. He said, you know, and he got into the materialistic message because pride is going to cause you to want to show off and show out. To show off and show out. And he said when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, instead of seeing the act of humility that it was. By the way, if you're a conquering king, you don't ride on donkeys. You ride white stallions. You ride a golden chariot pulled by six white stallions. That's why when Jesus comes back as the conquering king, he's coming on a white stallion. Can you say amen? Representing that he is the conquering king. And he's king of kings. King on his thigh it is written, King of kings and Lord of lords. But when he came, the Bible said the reason God exalted him is not because he sought that place in his humanity. It's because he humbled himself. And the scripture said, and this is how to keep pride from coming to you and me, even when God visits us and God uses us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who, though he thought it not robbery, to be called what? What he truly was. I'm not robbing God because I'm one with him and he's one with me, equal with God. Though he thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, he did what? With all of that knowledge and understanding of who he was, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. One of the reasons that so many people do not come to Jesus when they hear the gospel is pride. The Bible said the God of this world has blinded the minds of men, lest they would see the glory of the gospel and be saved. And that word blinded is a unique word, really, in the Greek, because it is the word tufluo. Tufluo. And it means to take a bottle and put it in a fire and then pull it out and it's been smoked. You can see, but you can't see clearly You can see some vague something, but it's not clear. It's not clear anymore. It means to obscure with smoke, like a smoke screen. You can't see through that smoke. And it means, in another rendering of that same word, to puff up with pride. Isn't that incredible? Satan uses the intrinsic pride that's within all of us. Where did we get it from? And you said, Brother Venable, I'm so humble. I'm just so humble. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're proud of your humility. Amen? And if you're proud of your humility, what is that?
Pride.
God resists the proud. But what do we all need from Him? God gives grace to the humble. Humble doesn't mean you're a wimp. It means that you are not following the flesh. You're following the Spirit. You're being led of the Spirit. You're not letting the flesh become dominant or influential. And you won't let it mingle in, because when pride gets involved with spiritual gifts, it negates the gifts. It cancels the gifts. When you speak in tongues to prove to somebody how spiritual you are, then there's no power in it anymore. It's not the Spirit moving and giving utterance. You're doing it in yourself for the purpose of bringing attention to yourself. Though I have speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not charity, which is divine agape love. It's sounding brass. It's tinkling cymbal. It's noise without substance. And that brings a reproach on Pentecostalism, because there's substance to the true gift of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? There's power released. But you can't be self-promoting with that power, self-exalting with that power. Though he thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, he humbled himself and took on himself the form of a servant. You'll never do that if you're full of pride. You will never do that. Pride will never allow you to have a servant heart. But yet Paul said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And it's really a weak word to render the true Greek meaning, isn't it? Amen. It's authorized. It's King James. God inspired it. But interpreting the Greek, by the way, the King James is an interpretation of the Greek and the Chaldee. The Chaldee and the Old Covenant and the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic. That's why when Jesus said certain words, it was in the Aramaic tongue. We found the closest English equivalent. But we need to get deeper into the Greek and the Hebrew to understand the full meaning, because that's what they heard it in, and that's what God inspired. Amen? So we need to dig deeper in the Word of God. We need to see what it's truly saying to us. If pride is the reason, and see, God can't accept that. He pushes back. He resists the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. And that's why the Bible said to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will decide when it's time to promote you. We don't decide that. I have spiritual ambition, but I want to keep the pride out of it. I want to preach to 10,000 people so that 10,000 people can hear the gospel. No, not so I can tell you how many people are now listening to me. Will you get a load of me? Amen. No. I want you to see Him. And I want to reach as many people as I can reach for Him. Hallelujah. But I don't need it for me. I have no idea how many people are hearing the gospel after all of these years in the media. But I do believe somebody is going to meet me in heaven and say, you don't know me, and I've never, but I know you. We've never met down on the earth, but I'm so glad to meet you now. I was in Albania, and I had my radio on, my computer going, and I found this broadcaster. I heard this sermon, and God used it to save my soul. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know about that. I don't need to know it. What I need to do is preach every message, not for my glory, but for His honor and for His glory. Can you say amen? I don't have to have a big church to make me feel relevant. Amen. And I fought that because my flesh, you know, oh yeah, I don't want nobody to know what a little church I preach in. They will immediately categorize me, and they will. That's God, you know, man looks on what? The only thing he can see, the outward appearance. Where does God look? He looks on the heart. So if you're trying to impress man, you better build it big and better. Then you say, man. But if you want to please God, you've got to get all of that out of you, every bit of it. If it gets big, fine. If it don't, hallelujah. Do what he's called you to do. Do it from the heart. I was all kind of messed up over something, kind of irritated, agitated, and close to getting discouraged. Pride starts seeping in. You start caring about all these things that you don't care about otherwise. I want to do my best for the Lord. Don't get me wrong. My very best. I want the best for him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, but I don't want to do the best to become a symbol of my success. I want it because he's worthy. He's a great king and he's a great God. And nothing is too good for his honor, for his glory. Can you say amen? If you're after a bigger home to impress your neighbor, welcome to the big mortgage that goes with it. And you say, man, welcome. Hope you enjoy sitting there wondering if they're going to foreclose next month. Eating your pork chops and getting indigestion. Man over here not trying to impress anybody, eating his pork chops. Neck bones, eating your neck bones. Let's talk about... Since we're talking spiritual stuff, let's talk about soul food. Can you say amen? Well, what about that good cornbread you bake? Homemade cornbread. Well, just what about some collard greens, too? I mean, we're going to have neck bones and cornbread and collard greens. Tater salad. He said potato. I'm the one who said tater. I'm so glad the Lord is calling us closer to him today. I'm so glad there's people in here that want to not be self-promoting. It seems to grip so many people in this that we were going to read about today and touch on today. Amen. Saul was an anointed king. The anointed, because he was jealous for the things of God. It wasn't his personal ambition initially to become some big shot. But God anointed him and God appointed him to become a king over Israel. He was taking care of oxen. He was plowing in the field with oxen. He received a report. He wasn't always a bad king until pride entered in. Satan wasn't always Diablos, the devil, until pride entered in. It is a danger, and it's especially dangerous when we become successful even in the Lord. And even through and by his appointing and anointing. Pride entered into the heart of a great evangelist with the gift of healing and miracles that went across the country. And in the history of the church, there are these generals. In fact, your wife gave me a tape series on the God's generals, and it talked about all of these great men and women of God and of faith and the miracles, the verifiable, I might add. There's a lot of miracle talk today. You just can't find one that can be verified. When God really does it, it can be verified. Hallelujah. Praise God. And these were verifiable miracles, notable miracles in the sense that everybody knew how the person was. And after God did it, they saw what the change that had occurred. And no one could deny, amen, that lame man who never walked was now running and leaping and praising God. And even if the doctor couldn't verify it, all the people saw him run and leap. That's pretty good verification for me. If a man who can't walk is running and leaping and praising God, and he couldn't walk for his whole life, and we all knew it because we saw him begging every day down on the corner, now he's running, leaping, praising God, I don't need an x-ray. Amen. To verify that the bones are doing what they're supposed to do. He's running, leaping, praising God. But I will say this, if he's running, leaping, praising God, something happened to them bones down in there, and the x-ray can verify it. Even to the people that are pushing back against the supernatural. When pride enters in, everything's about you. I gave a little tea party at 3 for I, myself, and me. I ate the cake. I made the cake and ate it too. Yeah, I made the cake, poured the tea, and passed the tea to me. Amen. You can have a tea party with yourself when you get filled with pride. Then you say, you don't need nobody else to come because it's not about them. It's about you. It's all about me, Jesus. It's not about you. We used to kid Ditter. I think of Elizabeth Baldry every time that we sing It's All About You, Jesus, because she would grin after. I miss her every single service. I miss Ditter Doe. Amen. I'm on record. I ain't got nobody to grin at me. We get in one heavy service, and I would see her. She'd be as serious as anybody else, but I knew that smile would come. Amen. I knew when I walked up and out here and came in that someone was going to greet me with a smile. A lot of people bring in their burdens and troubles. She had burdens and troubles, but she always lifted me up, and I appreciate her for that. But we threatened to get her a T-shirt that said, "It's all about me," because we would kid her about that. But she loved the Lord, and we love the Lord. And every one of us, intrinsic to your flesh and to mine, is pride. Is pride. And we have to do something about that. We have to begin to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And the Bible said if we do it, He will make the decision. He will exalt you. When you think you deserve it because of all of your accomplishments. No, when He decides. And I've heard preacher after preacher tell me, I'm glad my church, those that have big successful churches and the demands are increased, multiplied so many times because of these huge churches, they would say, I'm glad God didn't do this when I was praying for it or seeking it or asking Him to do it. Because He said, I wasn't ready. I heard a preacher tell me the other day, it was last Tuesday. He told me, he said, you know, I believe our church is going to grow. It's going to prosper. God is going to send people in. I believe it's time for that to occur. I believe we see the beginning of it, he said. But he said, you know something? If he had done it 2 years ago, I don't believe I would be ready. And he said, I'm not sure I'm ready now. God knows that. But if I'm ready, He will do that. And he said, one of the reasons I believe that it might happen is because 2 years ago when I preached, he said I was looking to see who was responding to what I was saying and to my message. He said, right now, I just bring the Word of God. It's not about me and whether I'm applauded or whether I see people nodding. Amen. It's about whether I'm delivering God's truth to God's people. And he said, I believe that I'm getting to the place that maybe God can trust me with more influence for Him. Can you say amen? I appreciate that because he recognized pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But Jesus humbled himself. The first thing, amen, that he did in order to go to the cross and carry out his purpose was to humble himself. But because he humbled himself, see, it's all in the same context. Though he thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, he humbled himself, took on himself the form of a servant, and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. Wherefore? See, this is all together. Wherefore? Because he humbled himself and allowed all of God's purpose to be realized because of it. Wherefore? God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name that is named, of things in heaven and things in earth and things beneath the earth, that at the sound of his name every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Woo! humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt you in due season. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's why he was born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem. Bethlehem, Ephratah. Thou art the least of the cities of Israel. Bethlehem means bread, bread of life, born in the city of bread. God always, he's precise. Everything he does has a deeper meaning attached to it. Nothing is flippant. Everything has deep meaning. The bread of life, born in the city of bread. Of course he'd be born in the city of bread. Can you say, man, hallelujah. Glory to God. He shall come to you. Your king shall come to you, prophetic of him. Riding on a donkey, the foal of an ass. Lowly. Yes. And so this guy, this friend of mine, he's fallen into pride. I knew him when he didn't have that. He had a strong anointing. He loved God. He wept over souls. But now he's self-promoting. He's bought into the materialistic message, because when you get filled with pride, you want God to give you things. It ain't about following Jesus and souls. It's about stuff. And he said, Jesus rode into, I heard him preach one time, Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a, instead of emphasizing the humility, because it takes a humble man that has the power he had to hang on that cross. And stay, because he didn't have to. I like that song, he didn't have to do it, but he did. Can you say, man, he did not have to do it, but he did. And he did it because he loved you and I. He could have come off that cross and called it, like he said, amen, the armies of heaven to destroy the world and the people that hated him and betrayed him and turned back on him. But he stayed on the cross. Hallelujah. So here's how he saw it. And this is what happens when pride enters. You put on a lens and you see things in a different light. You don't see truth anymore. You see something that can be blended into the world view and the world's culture and the world's way of thinking. And then the Word of God that you're reading from the Bible, but it's tainted. Amen? You want to have what I got? Give to my ministry, God will give you what I got. Why do I need what you've got? I need a home, I need a car, but I don't need a $10 million home. Amen. If I had a $10 million home, I'd be deeply convicted right now. Because of all the people starving to death, I think I could get by with a $1 million house. I really think Pamela and I could make do. Since we're on our way to heaven. And since the kingdom is where our values lie. And since I don't have to prove anything to any other preacher. I really think I could ride first class in a jet and be very happy. I've never ridden first class. I mean, I don't drink the stuff up there and, you know, and I don't drink the stuff they bring in. I like the peanuts. Southern boy, give me them peanuts. Them goober peas. Give me them goober peas, right? Got any in the shell? Amen. How about some boiled peanuts? Not them bagged up peanuts. If we're going to eat peanuts, let's eat them right. Amen? So here's what he said. Once you get that perspective and you see it and it ruins people. It ruins what God is trying to show us. He said Jesus rode into Jerusalem, not emphasizing the donkey thing as opposed to the white chariot and the humility of Christ, because that humility is what allowed him to go to the cross. He was obedient to the death of the cross because he what? Because he humbled himself. If he was thinking of himself, he would have never went to that cross. I love the song that said, when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But here's his take on it. He said, Jesus rode a donkey that that had never been ridden. Are you ready for the revelation? Are you ready for the revelation? And God wants to give you a car that has never been driven. The significance of where he was born, what he was about to do, what he portrayed to us as an example to follow, it's all gone. Now Jesus just wants to show out in his brand. Listen, if God gives me a new car, I'm not too humble to drive it. Until I think of, yeah, I said if God, see, you're right till I think about the payments. Because, you know, if I got to show off, I'm going to go in debt just to show off. There's a guy at work bought into that gospel that he fell into because of pride. I got to prove it. So he and his wife began to take in foster children, not because they loved those children, not because they prayed and loved God. They were Christian. But they bought into, I got to get this big bunch of stuff. Because if you have faith, you show your faith by how much stuff you accumulate. You begin to see everything wrong. Jesus said the thief came to steal. That clock isn't working. It's 10 to 6. I'll have you out of here by 6:30, guaranteed. We got a lot of day left. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming so early this morning. Sunrise service came early this year, didn't it? So they took in foster kids and they give them so much money a month for all of them. The wife absolutely couldn't handle it. He worked with me. He had a testimony until this event happened. He began to talk to us about, look what God has given me. I've got a house now with 5 bedrooms and 3 baths. And I've got this big van from, you know, the best that you can buy and the bills that come with it. But the kids are paying the bills. The kids are paying the bills. And she can't handle the pressure of all of those problematic kids because they were not called to do it. They were doing it so they could prove their faith by buying bigger and better stuff. And she lost it. And in her discipline to try to handle the pressure, they would lock kids in closets and refuse to give them their evening meal. And when it hit the Tampa Tribune, he went around witnessing. He tried to share Jesus up until then. And he was effective sharing Christ up until then. But when what they had allowed in their home to get, see, they couldn't handle it, but they couldn't give them up. They couldn't take them back. They couldn't say, we're not, you know, this is getting to my wife. She's tore all to pieces. She can't handle this. No, we got to have it because we got to keep this house. We got to keep that vehicle. Pride. I got to prove to you that I've got faith because I'm in that movement that says you gauge your faith by how much stuff you accumulate. Because that's what those people are doing. And that's what they're teaching. And they're telling you God wants you to have it. Well, if God wants you to have it, then you better get out and get it. Because you're now being judged. Your faith is being judged by how much stuff you have. And when it hit the headlines, first thing that happened was his Christian testimony was gone. He weighed about 300 pounds. She weighed about 400 pounds. And when you're not feeding children, and they got a picture of you in the paper, living high. Oh, they didn't starve them to death. But some of them were tied to a bedpost to where they couldn't get loose or locked in a closet. And when they got in there and saw the conditions, it hit the Tampa Tribune. And when it hit the Tribune, the Christian testimony is gone. 2 months before, he was bragging about God has given us this. It's all stuff. When pride enters in, we got to show out. We got to get some bling. And I'm not talking about a nice cross. I'm talking about what the rappers wear. They better have an entourage. If you wear that kind of gold around down parts of this city. Amen. Amen. It's about the bling. It's about the stuff. It's about the world. It's nothing like Jesus. It's a wrong presentation of Christ, because when pride enters, we can't imagine doing what he did, humbling ourselves, being obedient to the death of the cross. We're not into self-denial to be his disciple. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. My example. Let this mind be in you so that you can do that. Because you can't do that without that mindset and that value system. Amen? Listen to me carefully. Next thing happened, they called him in the office and said, we do not have people in these kind of situations working on this job. You're done. His career. And it was his career. Years and years with the company down the drain. Christian witness is gone. Now, legally, just trying to avoid actual jail time. Kids were taken. House is lost. Car goes back. He had a good job. He lived in a nice home. But when pride enters, nice isn't enough. You understand what I'm saying? It isn't enough anymore. It's incredible. The preacher I was telling you about that got over into that, he continued to try to get rich to prove his faith instead of follow Jesus to prove his faith. So he said over television, over his television broadcast, it happened here in Tampa years ago. He's a personal friend of mine. He used to minister when I first came to Christ, and I thought, I want to be like him. That's a mistake, too. I want to be like Jesus. And that's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you've got to deny yourself and take up your cross and then follow him. Because if you're filled with pride and you're not going to, you want God to be a Kris Kringle figure. He just lives to, oh man, the latest. I don't even want to go with some of the craziest stuff they say. Hey man, if I didn't pay so much for my son paid so much for the TV that he gave me. There's times I just want to kick the TV and say, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. I wish I'd never heard it. How can Christian people with a Bible and the Holy Spirit miss it that far? When pride enters to fluo, the same thing that Satan is using to keep people from seeing the glory of the gospel is what he's doing to keep people to see the truth of the gospel and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. You can't see it with your physical eye. It is not meat and drink. It's not something for your natural body. But it is righteousness. It is peace. And it is joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And unless you become, everybody say, humble yourself. Unless you become as a little child. Unless you become as a little child. See, that's why pride is keeping people from coming to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's why Satan keeps blowing the smoke, puffing them up with pride. Amen. Unless you become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't come to Jesus with your pride, your arrogance, your disobedience, your rebellion, your unrepentant heart. And the gospel today without repentance is accommodating pride. Because the only reason a sinner that has sinned against God would have a problem with repenting of his sin is because he's too proud to do it. And the sin that God can't forgive is the sin that we won't confess. But if we could, now you can, listen, you can go to the first church of what's happening now. You can walk down the aisle with your pride and your sin clinging to you. And you can recite what after somebody, do you believe in your heart, you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? And they'll go through the, oh yes, of course, and give mental assent to that. They'll tell you that you're saved. They'll tell you that you're okay now. They'll baptize you in water that represents death to the old man. That old man has never died. And he's not even being put on the cross. Can you say amen? And you're told that you're saved from right then on, and nothing you can ever do will ever jeopardize that. You know, one of the great shocks about getting in heaven is going to see the people that nobody in the world thought would make it, but down at the end they called on the Lord and they're going to be there. And one of the other shocks of heaven is people, amen, that claimed faith all their life. And they're absent. Amen. Straight is the gate. Narrow the way that leads to eternal life. And few. You say, Brother Venable, you believe that you're part of the chosen few. No, I believe I'm part of the few that chose. I chose Jesus over sin. I choose heaven over hell. When we sing, take this whole world and give me Jesus, I mean it. I would not give up Christ for that mansion. I will not compromise my faith for a better automobile. I don't have anything to prove to anyone in this world. I have a God to please. Hallelujah. Woo! I feel His good pleasure this morning. Hallelujah. Now, if you're one of those materialistic people and you love to turn those guys and gals on telling you how to get it, you're going to be pressed to make all kinds of compromises and concessions to prove that you have believed that message. So this guy used to preach under such a powerful anointing. People used to get down at the altar and dedicate their life to the Lord, come to Christ. He can't get God to just pour out the wealth on him. So he comes up with a plan. And see, you're so easily deceived when pride enters. Humility's gone. You don't listen to a sermon. You don't read the Bible and take it for you. So he said he met somebody that had a get-rich plan. Well, if God wants you to be rich, He must have given you the get-rich plan, right? If that's His grandest desire for you, then the get-rich plan is what you've been looking for. And this guy said, if we could just get enough money to invest, we found a map. It's an ancient map. It dates back 1700s. There was a ship loaded with gold bullion that went down. Yes, there was, and there were many like that. Few there be that find them. Can you say amen? But you've got to get some investment. We've got to have some front money. We've got to get this boat. We've got to get sonar equipment. But we know it's there. So he prayed about it. In other words, God, if you want me rich, the way to get rich would be to find this treasure. Then I'll be rich. So he went around to churches in his church, and he said what he believed in his heart, because now his heart was tainted with pride. You can't get a clear leading from God without humility. God tells you, he wants you to take up your cross. You say what? If you want to be a follower of Christ, start with denying yourself. Say what? No, what are you going to give me if I serve you? What's in it for me? Pride asks, what's in it for me? What's in it for you? Eternal life. What's that worth? What's that worth? The promise of His presence when you're dying. I hate to break this to you, but one day you're going to draw your last breath. And it don't matter how big your house is. It don't matter if you're sitting in a luxurious car that cost $150,000. When you get ready to draw your last breath, that car don't mean nothing. That house don't mean nothing. Jesus means everything. I've been in a lot of rooms where people are dying in all these years of ministry. I've heard a lot of people repent of a lot of things. I've never heard anyone that was a Christian say, oh man, I could have been out here. I could have compromised my faith. I could have lived higher on the hog. No, everybody's so glad they know Jesus and have His peace, His presence, and His promise. Amen. That death doesn't end it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he comes up with the treasure thing, and then he says, God showed me that He's in this, and everybody that invests in this with their money, and they trust him because he's a preacher. Supposedly led of the Spirit, knowing the Bible. And they all begin to write checks, and some of them their savings for their retirement. Because it's a sure thing, because God showed him. Take your money out of the bank, it's only bringing a small percent. Take it out of bonds and put it in this. You're going to be rich beyond your wildest dreams when we pull this treasure up. And they got the stuff. They invested the money. They went down South America's off the coast somewhere, and they looked and they looked and they prayed. He prayed and they looked and he prayed and they looked. He sought and they looked and they found nada. But the money invested is gone. And now on the news in Tampa, Florida, it's being broadcast. And the testimony is gone with it. The testimony is gone with it. Pride goes before destruction. If you're humble, God can counsel you. God can speak to you. You'll be sensitive enough in your spirit that you'll listen to that still small voice. You'll listen to conviction. You'll listen to wise Christian counsel. You'll read the Bible and apply it to your life. Not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. This man shall be what? Blessed in his deed or his life of obedience. Hallelujah. It takes humility for that to occur. So here's what he said to King Saul as we close. He said, when thou wast little, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, that's when he exalted him. I made you a king over Israel. But now your kingdom is going to be taken from you and given to another. And you know what Saul did in his pride? Those that could have counseled him to repent like David did when David sinned. He killed the prophets. I'll tell you, if you're a true prophet of God today, don't look for the applause, not only of the world, but don't look for it from many facets of the church and many Christian leaders. If you're bringing a message of repentance to this church today that's materialistic and superficial instead of spiritual and supernatural, you're going to find a hard road to hoe. They're going to push back. They're going to push back hard. Amen. But I would rather speak for God. I'm not presenting myself as a prophet, but I am speaking for God today. And I'm telling you what the prophets have said and what the truth is today. And, oh, God will bless you. If he finds out he can bless you without making you worldly, he can bless you without feeding your pride, he can bless you without making you self-exalting. Amen. Oh, the best way to get the blessing of God is let him know, I don't have to have these things. I've got you. I got a prayer answering God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't have to be self-promoting, self-exalting. Glory to God. When thou wast little in thine own eyes, God made you the king over Israel. But now thy kingdom is taken from thee and given to it. When thou wast little in thine own eyes, praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, the Lord is calling us to a deeper walk with him. And it begins with the humility, even if God has shown you things. You've had visions, been used in a mighty way. God wants us to bow again in his presence and say, Lord, I just want to bring you honor and bring you glory. Deliver me from men. That's what he had to do with Saul, Paul. So he wouldn't become a Saul when he used him mightily. First thing he did, he delivered him from men. In other words, you can't care what the Sanhedrin thinks of you anymore. You had a high rank among the highest religious leaders of the world. And when Paul humbled himself before the Lord, he looked at everything differently. He said, you know, this is the way it used to be. And he talked about his spiritual credentials. In his case, what was feeding it was his spiritual background. I am a Jew of the Jews. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised the eighth day according to the law. And since we're talking about the law, I am blameless. And when he met Jesus, he said, the things that I once counted gain to me, I count them as but dung. Does anybody want to know the Greek? What? Can you figure dung out without us going into detail? Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say shoo. I mean amen. I count it as but dung. Oh, they'll clean it up and say refuse. That's not what Paul said. We're going to be accurate here today. It's dung. It's dung. You can get a brand new car if you get dung on your shoe and step inside that new car. It ain't going to smell new for long. I don't know about you, but if I get it on my shoe, I take my dog walking. Sometime we walk where other dogs have walked. Sometime I come back in my van. You know, we're coming back in the van. And you know, the dog says, something smells. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't talk. But even he don't like it. Even he don't like it, you know. When we get back, I go. I clean my feet off. I got a hose around there. And then I take the hose and make sure it's off. And then I'm getting it. Why? Why do you want to get that off of you? Because it stinks. It's awful. You don't. I can't. Paul said the thing that Satan would use to puff me up with, the thing that he would use to fill me with pride, the thing that kept me from seeing the gospel, the thing that I looked at as my highest desire and ambition, all of those things have changed. My perspective has changed. Hallelujah. I see the kingdom now, and it's worth more to me than all of these things to have Christ as my Savior. Wow. Woo! I feel his good pleasure today. And when you get in spiritual battle and the enemy wants to take you out, you cannot afford to be filled with pride and self-assurance. Saul went into battle without consulting the prophets. And when they tried to warn him, he had them killed. And Jonathan, who loved David so much, his family loyalty outweighed what he knew was right. And he went with his daddy into battle. Saul and Jonathan, when they were right with God, well, Jonathan was not, there wasn't a problem with Jonathan until he came to where he had to pick, who are you going to follow? And he stood with his daddy. There are people right now, they'll go to a church that's dead and they know it. But their mama go there, their daddy go there. Their denominational legacy. They'll sit in it and dry up, follow wrong teaching. You've got to make a choice. It's your soul. It's your life. And you've got to grow up enough spiritually to make a choice, not based on what other people say or other people think. It's your walk with God. You pay the consequences, not them. Can you say amen? They were swift as eagles. They died on the battlefield. They chopped them to pieces after they killed them. They hacked them into pieces. They were anointed. Saul was so anointed, mighty in battle, David said. Swift as eagles, when him and Jonathan fought for Israel, nothing could conquer them. Daughters of Jerusalem, publish it not in Gath, tell it not in Ashkelon, the twin capital cities of the Philistines, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. They clothed you with beautiful raiment. They clothed you and bejeweled you, the spoils of battle. They never lost a battle. They never lost because they were so anointed. They were swift as eagles in battle. Unstoppable. But they're dead on the battlefield. Spiritual warfare, you can't afford the luxury of pride. It will make you self-sufficient and lead you away from God. And he wept, tears running down his cheeks. And he said, how art the mighty? Do you see why the mighty fell? Do you get the picture? You say, but Brother Bimble, that preacher here lately, he spoke in tongues. He was so dynamic. He was so anointed. Of course he was. No one questions that. Well, how could he fall? When pride enters in, it don't matter how anointed you are. It doesn't matter how much power you have within you. God can't bless you. That power can't be manifest unless you humble yourself. Thank God you can humble yourself and come back to God and get restored. But in every mighty anointed man or woman that has fallen, pride came first. You can see it in Samson. I'll shake myself as at other times. I'm in control of this power. No, you're not. God is in control of the power and you, and whether it flows or not. Hallelujah. So today, the call to me is very clear. I just want to put my best foot forward for Jesus. I want to quit being intimidated. Don't compete. Don't compare. Do your best for God. Can you say amen? Do your best for God. Just do your best for God. I remember Keith Green, and I remember as we closed today, there was a song on an album. And God brought a lyric from that song to me when I was really low. Came back to me after all those years, 20, 30 years ago. Just do your best and pray that it's blessed, and God will take care of the rest. Can you say amen? Do your best. Have an ambition to do your best for Christ and pray that God will bless it, and He'll take care of the rest. Whatever becomes of that, whatever He wants to make of that, let God do it. So here we are today. I wouldn't be here today if I compared and competed. Because if I compare and compete, we might as well lock this place up, shut her down. We're insignificant and irrelevant. No, there's people coming to Jesus because we're here today. There's people coming to Christ because there's somebody in Kenya that is using our statement of faith as their statement of faith. And the man didn't just say, I love your preaching. He said, I like your doctrine. Can you say, man, I like the truth that you've espoused and the truth that you're bringing forth. Amen. People want to throw doctrine out the window and just have a good time. Amen. Listen, doctrine is exceedingly important because it makes up the foundation for our faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of this message today? Hallelujah. Give the Lord the hand clap. I don't want Him to have to humble me. Hallelujah. But I love you today. And I believe God has His hand on some people in this room. And I believe God's going to exalt some people in this room. And I believe there's some people in this room that's going to do more than I have ever dreamed of doing. I believe God is going to use some people. Praise God in a mighty way. And just to know I've had a little part of sowing into somebody makes me glad that I have preached the gospel all of these years. Can you say amen? God is so good. Amen. Will you stand to your feet today and let's give Him praise once again. He's so worthy. He is so worthy. These days are prophetic times. So many prophecies are being fulfilled today in the church and in the world and in ancient Israel and around the world. Praise God. Jesus coming is soon. The day of the Lord is hastening greatly. And God is calling us to be a people that He's bringing out from a people. Amen. Hallelujah. And these are the days. This song that we're going to play came as a prophecy first and then a prophecy put to music. Can you say amen? Everybody say a prophecy put to music. Glory to God. That gives a significance to me. It wasn't just a song written to be lyrically rhyming. Somebody didn't just bust a rhyme when they wrote this song. Glory be to God. This is prophecy first, and then it was put to music. And I do believe these are the days of Elijah, and these are the days of restoration, and I believe God is going to restore to the true church, amen, that truth that once that held it through the fire and the flood and kept Jesus honored and followed and gave us a legacy of faith here in the postmodern world in the 21st century. Let's give Him some praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.